PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Keith Emerson. You know Emerson, Drew.
Emerson, Lake and Palmer?
Yeah.
Really?
He did soundtrack stuff. May still do soundtrack stuff.
Interesting.
This is from the Nighthawk soundtrack, Rest in Paradise. Rutger Hauer, also starring Sylvester Stallone and Billy Dee Williams. This song, along with Rolling Stones' Brown Sugar, both used great in the best scene of the movie, in which Stallone and Billy Dee Williams as cops successfully track down Rutger Hauer's terrorist character in a nightclub. And this song is just used a great, great effect. The rest of the soundtrack isn't as good. It's a cool movie, though. Nighthawks, good movie. Drew, how you doing,
buddy? Doing, man.
We haven't recorded a bonus episode together in a few weeks because we backlogged a couple for your trip.
So I could do it, yeah.
But we've stumbled across a great way to backlog now.
There we go.
Going deep on some movies.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing that now on a monthly basis, one or two movies a month.
Depending on however Chris feels.
On however you feel, whatever we feel like doing. I just think it's a great now. It may be lazy and just maybe genius, but it's now a great way. What are we going to talk about this week? Oh, shit, let's just watch a movie, buddy.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about the movie that we watched.
So many movies that we've grown up watching, we've seen over and over. I've thought of a few recently. I for sure want to do, I don't know if I want to do it as one, I think I may want to do one episode, two movies, a rarity, where then we'll really have to, unless it's going to be a fucking 3-hour episode, we'll really have to like go through it faster than we've done RoboCop.
Yeah.
I do like being detailed about it, making sure we hit every scene. Because there's little things, you know, we want to talk about
there
all the little
be.
Stuff,
yeah.
You know, and I don't want to miss them. So I like doing it that way. But maybe just one episode where we talk about both El Mariachi and Desperado.
Okay.
Because for me, those are huge movies. And I can talk about why, and Robert Rodriguez's book, Rebel Without a Crew, and all that stuff. And they're both available.
Yeah.
They're both on streaming, so we can watch them both. You've seen Desperado, right? For sure.
Yes.
How about Mariachi?
Yes, but after Desperado. I saw Desperado because
right.
I...
Correct.
Yeah.
Me too. Hashtag me too.
Yeah, so...
Everyone. You must have been some sort of movie psycho to have been able to have seen El Mariachi. I guess it played at Sundance. I have to do the research. Yeah. It played at some festival. Some people saw it first. But yeah, Desperado was like, yeah, I saw that on like USA one night. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Excuse me.
Although yeah, exactly. I do remember seeing Desperado posters in bus stops.
Yeah.
In specifically in bus stop the covers, you know, and they have movie posters put in there in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Desperado, Antonio Banderas with the gun,
yeah.
Desperado, and being a dumb. Sixth grade, he'd be like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
this marketing gets me. For some reason, the marketing works so much better on kids than it does. Well, I guess, you know, cigarettes.
Exactly.
Joe Camel. So we'll be doing a Desperado. I want to do an El Mariachi. And that's a stroke right there.
Cool.
That was our first honor stroke.
Sweet.
El Mariachi Desperado combo episode. Before we do that, though, we're going to do One on Rumble in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. For me, that's another big one. And then one for you, you mentioned a few weeks ago, The Crow.
Yeah.
We're going to do The Crow next.
Yes.
I think that's going to be next week's show.
Okay.
We're going deep on The Crow. Which then made me think of this week's episode.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
On-set movie deaths.
I mean, everybody knows it says...
You see the title there. Yeah. Maybe you looked at the show art and you saw the references like Brandon Lee and Vic Morrow and stuff. Yeah, but we're talking about some on-set movie deaths. It's going to be a fun episode. We're having a good time. It's going to be lighthearted and cool. And we're talking about
death.
And who are we doing this for? Well, we're doing this for our patrons. Who are our patrons? Well, of course, that's Peter the First. Gabe the Great. Scott the Spot. Carmella Mixshow cramming in the... You listen to that on WGOT in Gainesville. And then, of course, Ron, the wonderful, the most wonderful out in L.A. We love you, buddy. You see the pictures of his hair, how long his hair is getting?
Man, good for him.
I love his hair, man. Ron, I love your hair, buddy. You're looking great, dude. And then we have Maggie the first lady. Why is she the first lady? Well, she was the first lady to sign up for the show. Thanks, Maggie. We appreciate it. But she's not the only lady because we also have my mother, who doesn't listen to nothing. Oh, do you hear it? People can hear the plane. Can I turn up the mic so you can hear the plane? Drew ripped off his head.
It hurts my ears.
You're so sensitive. I know. This show's safe for the little ears.
It's not that my ears are sensitive. It's just that is one of like the most annoying sounds in the world. Just this stupid audio. Well, that and the background audio static. So when it's boosted to that level.
But the dynamic processing that I do and then the normalization really cuts down on that stuff.
I'm sure, but not live right now where it fucking hurts my ears it's a totally avoidable inconvenience.
That's a post effect, not a pre effect. Yeah, I apologize. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Like I said, it's totally avoidable. All I have to do is take off my earphones.
That's fine. What you did.
I did.
Shouts to Trey, Sorry Jones, that's 8 and 9. And then Aaron is number 10. That's our top 10. And not necessarily top 10 that you guys are the 10 best. That's just a 10 in order. Followed by Walt, our own residential meth-making. Walt, what's up, Walt? Walter, not White. Wilson?
Wilson.
Yes.
Deadpool.
Not Wade Wilson, and not Walter White, but Walter Wilson. We like to have fun with our listeners here. We're having a good time. After Walt is, of course, now this is where it starts.
The Matt.
It gets a little murky. Well, did we mention Aaron Mullen?
I don't know. Did you?
We didn't. Because Maggie may be the first lady, but she's not the only lady because we got Aaron. What's up, Aaron?
And then we have 3 Matts, right?
And then there's the Matts.
The Matts.
So many Matts.
There's 3 of them.
There's Matt, our boy, the rocket scientist. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't listen?
Ex-rocket scientist.
He's forever a rocket scientist in my heart.
I mean, he graduated with a degree in aerospace engineering.
So it's good enough for me. That's always been good enough for me.
But he doesn't actually work on rockets.
Yo, that's always been good enough for me. It's from day one. He doesn't have to do anything else. Rocket scientist in my heart.
Barely graduated high school.
Doesn't listen to this. That's fine. Also not listening, Matt, our lawyer friend. Matt the lawyer, who we will hit up for lawyerly stuff.
Yes.
As
long as he doesn't kill everybody
but
or himself.
But he likes movies, though. Doesn't he listen to podcasts? Why doesn't he listen?
And he's very much, like, has our taste in movies
so
as
why
well.
So does he listen, then?
No. Yeah.
Who does listen probably is Matt from the Hard at Work show. Shout out to Matt and Nick. Nick, are you listening? Are you leeching off of Matt's account? If so, that's cool, bro.
No, it's not. We need patrons.
No, it's fine. Matt and Nick, they're together all the time. They're hanging out.
Guys, it's a whole extra dollar.
They can do it. It's
$1. They're close. And what that would bring us one step closer to our 20th episode celebration.
The 20th patron celebration. Yes, I said in the beginning, when we get to 20 patrons, we're going to do an episode about Gapetoberfest. I was a judge. Drew was a spectator. One of our patrons, I'm not going to say who,
was also there.
And has agreed to talk about the show with the... yes, I was there. I will talk about Gapetoberfest. So we'll have him here to do that. Mm-hmm. All right, we're not going to blow up his spot, but he'll be here for that. I'm also going to try my best. It's going to be a big producer thing. I'm going to try to talk to Angel, SBK. Well, Angel wasn't there. So I'm going to talk to Angel. Like, Kevin, why'd you back out, Angel? See if I can get him on mic to talk about that.
Kevin, I mean...
I'm going to drive to St. Pete!
Maybe if
I'm gonna drive to Tampa to talk to Kevin.
Do you think we could blackmail Cabin now that he's married into being on the episode?
That's the thing. I think I could convince Cabin on the pretense that, like, listen, like, literally 24 people will hear this. Because that's the thing. By the time I produce the show, put it out,
yeah.
it's gonna take a minute. It's yeah. gonna take a month or two of work. I'm talking about a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
But God, will we ever get to 20?
That's what I'm saying.
We'll never
do it. Like, I'm waiting for so long. I just want this to happen so
what,
bad.
Because what are we at now? We're at like 13 with the Mets.
And I want it to happen. Or no, we're at like 16.
No, I mean, but we're counting right now with the Mets.
Yeah.
Because then there's also Kobe.
Yeah.
Right? Shout out to Kobe. Yeah. Kobe's a good guy. He's been supporting podcast supporting for a long time. So many shows. He's a good dude. And we got the three Mets and the Kobe's. That's like 15, right?
15 or 16.
And then there's Eric from the Eric and Stacey show.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one who I'm like, Stacy, you listening? Because you can listen too. That's cool, Stacy. You guys, you live together. We don't need to double up on people in the same house. I almost feel like it's cheating. So it's cool.
I mean, are they giving...
Shout out to Eric and Stacy.
Are they doing one account for $2? Because if so, they should break it up into two accounts for $1 so we can get one step closer to this fucking episode.
Man, Eric...
I'm trying to fucking stack the decks as best I can.
Man, Eric is an executive producer. All right.
Damn it.
He's an executive producer, so he can... They're fine. They can split. They're paying top dollar for this shit.
I'm just saying.
He's a good guy, Eric.
I want to get to 20. I don't care how it's done.
So where are we at? We're at 16 there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Have we met Dave yet?
I don't know.
Aha! But that's the thing, because since we backlogged some episodes, we haven't been able to catch up, Drew. Ladies and gentlemen... How's it going, Dave? We've talked. I think we mentioned Dave. Dave Aller. Dave is in the Facebook group all the time.
Okay.
Hits us up all the time in the community, in the Facebook community. He has signed up. We got Dave.
He should send some emails so I can read them on the show.
We also have Josh. Did you know that? We didn't mention that. Josh Fowler. Josh has been a guest on the show. He was part of the Casual Shadows podcast.
So how many people do we have now?
Oh, that's the thing, Drew.
Go to Patreon. Tell us.
That's the thing, because not only do we have Josh... We also got Corey. What's up, Corey?
So, Chris...
What? Corey, how you doing, Corey? Nice to join you. Corey, when he signed up, I recognized the name right away. This dude, Drew, he's been listening since like the SBK Live days.
Okay, so...
So, what's up, Corey? So I see you out there, Corey. You're a cool dude,
bro. What's our number at now, Chris?
See, that's the thing. Now, actually, I should probably
yeah, now you're probably... We're getting close.
I think we're at 18, like I said, Chicago.
Our failing
podcast is now failing at the number of 18 patrons.
I just want to know.
No, excuse me. I'm sorry. We're at 19.
One away.
We're at 19.
One away from this fateful episode. One away. Oh, it's so close. I can almost taste it.
That's the thing. I'm not even going to put 1 second of work towards producing the episode until we get to 20.
Yeah, no, it's
once
fine.
We hit 20,
oh, yeah.
Then I'll start doing
seriously,
the work to make it happen.
Chris, it took us this long to get to fucking 19.
We started...
We could plateau here at 19 for another fucking 6 months.
We launched a Patreon account. We launched it in October of 2018. So it's almost a full year worth of plugging away at a minimum of a week, an episode a week.
Mm-hmm.
To even get to 20. Talk about failing hard in front of everyone for the world to see. But we put such a low bar that it's about to get plateaued. Not plateaued. It's about to get crossed over. About to get leapt over.
Here's the thing, Chris. We're not
the 20th patron.
We're not white enough to fail upward.
I've thrown it down. I'm not... My Puerto Rican backing is not white enough. It's not Iberian enough. There's too much Indian and too much African slave in there. Drew Sakogburn, your hair's pretty dark, man.
I mean, I very well could
have. You go back far enough. You do a test. You got some more in you. You are not genetically white enough that the white people can tell just by sniffing you.
I mean, I come from mainly Europe. So, I mean, when the Moors invaded, they fucking invaded, bro.
That's what I'm saying. That's where the dark hair is coming from. Yeah. You ain't got that Aryan look to you.
That's where the fucking the super dark hair and the dark skin came from with the fucking Spanish.
Correct.
Where do you think they got that from?
From Hispania. Oh, the Moors.
Yes.
Yeah. Shout out to my Moor brothers.
The Spanish natives were fucking blonde-haired, blue-eyed motherfuckers.
My mom has blue eyes and lighter hair.
That's why.
Yes.
Because that's the native Spanish.
Because she's...
it's like first nation.
50% like Iberian, because we have, on that side of my family, Canary Island is our specific genetic background.
Like I said...
Isn't that weird? Canary Island?
That's like First Nation Europe shit.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, for real. We the real whites. Us Puerto Ricans, we the real whites. Man, really. I mean,
if,
really
you're from, if you're coming from Iberia, yeah, you were so white. You're so white that the Spanish. You're still white to the Spanish because they were invaded by the Moors.
Yeah, for real, we are real colonizers. You want to throw them racist whites for a loop? Like Puerto Ricans are real whites. Like what? That's like when.
Well, listen.
It's like it's like the black Hebrews. Like we're the real Jews. Like whoa, what?
Well, here's the thing. If you think about it this way, then he's kind of right.
It's like, man, this race shit. They don't make no sense.
No, it doesn't at all.
It doesn't. Race sucks.
We're all just a bunch of fucking mutts.
I hate it. I hate race so much. I love talking about race, and I hate it so much. This is a movie show.
I thought we were calling people dying.
We can talk about people. Like I said, it's going to be a fun, lighthearted episode.
Can we get to the death now?
All right.
Enough with the races. Let's get to the death.
I wanted to shout out our patrons. Yeah, our patrons are great. I did most of those by memory, but I had to wrap around by some of them by the emails. Guys, we already recorded our whole episode with Etchy.
Yeah. Long one, too.
I drank through it. It was a long one.
We went off the rails on wrestling for a while.
We did 15 minutes on wrestling, but not in the way you would think. No. It was a fun conversation.
It was interesting.
We talked for a good 10 minutes on your New York trip.
You know what, Chris? It was an educated conversation on wrestling.
It was a fun, educated, good conversation on wrestling. You talked about your New York trip, which was great. We had a lot of good. We talked about your kidney stones and stuff. I drank through the whole thing.
You're still drinking. continuing.
It was dabs crazy. We went off on the dabs. We'd see. Let me see. We got here. Let me see, Drew. We had this is that Mandarin Dream crumble that we enjoyed. It's childproof if you were trying to open it.
No,
but it's labeled on the bottom. We got Mandarin Dream.
Oh, that was a really funny running joke.
Good Boys. Guys, you got to watch Good Boys. Our patrons. Good Boys is great. We reviewed
that was a great running
in episode
joke.
345. But that's Mandarin Dream. This is that 9-pound hammer. And we had a mix of those going on. What I did, Drew, at one point, we had a dab beforehand.
I saw you. You saw what I did. Yeah, you doubled.
You saw what
you
I
double
did.
Dabbed.
I fucking double dabbed you. I gave you a touch of the Clementine gel, the Clementine clear oil with some of that Mandarin Dream crumble. Like I touched it and you did them together and then you coughed for a while and then it's been a good afternoon since then. Mm-hmm. If I don't say so myself. On top of that stale Cheetos jalapeno cheddar, come on. We're having a good time. What are you looking at? Now you're examining the two of them together. You're just excited about you're waiting for your card to come
in. Well, no, exactly. That's why I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it now, so I don't have to. So when I go in, I'm not like, I'm just like, I want this, I want that. Thank you. Fucking get out.
Go to trueleave.com. Look at their website. You'll see all the products. They'll have them there. If you put in your patient card information, then you can place orders online, and then the orders are just like set for, dude, it's so simple. You're gonna have
I'm
a good time.
For that email.
By the time this episode comes out, you will have the email. Like this will be old news. Yeah. By the time you will have been in the True Leaf. Do you want me to go with you? I can go with you. You want to go together? We can place an order together. We'll get our text messages. We'll go. No. It'll be fun.
No.
Come on.
No.
I'll bring my MP3 recorder. Uh-uh. We can record it.
Nope.
Drew's a guy who goes to the dispensary.
No.
We'll have a fun time.
That sounds awful.
Come on,
that's
Drew.
Stupid.
Okay. I'll do a Charles Bronson impression the whole time. Like, listen here.
Even worse.
Here we go. This is where we have the oils. Or you want some of the 9-pound hammer? Drew Chicago.
To your face.
I have a death wish.
I'm sure you do.
I wish I was dead. We're talking about on-set movie deaths. Drew Chicago making movies like wrestling is no safe business.
That's why stuntmen exist.
That's why stuntmen exist, and that's why stuntmen die. Did you know a stuntman died making XXX?
Sure.
Here we go. I have 5 movie deaths. Here's movie death number 5. Harry O'Connor was a stuntman on XXX. XXX was being filmed
That's Vin Diesel doing dumb shit.
That's Vin Diesel doing dumb shit. Extreme sports dumb shit.
Fast and Furious rated R.
Yes. Wasn't Fast and Furious... the RPGs are a thing. But with a... he's like, oh no, I'm a snowboarder, but now I'm also...
I'm also
a paraglider.
XXX has
but I'm
slowly...
also a motorbiker guy.
XXX has slowly morphed into the France... Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah, like, but it's always been about extreme sports.
Yeah.
Like, even in the third one, he's longboarding down a road and skiing in a forest and bullshit like that, right? Okay, so in April of 2002...
I think, like me, he's into extreme sports.
I'm into extreme sports. Oh,
what was it? The new Point Break remix?
The new Point Break was, yes. Oh, God.
Like me, I think they're into extreme sports.
Like me, I think the dead presidents are into extreme sports. God damn it, Luke Bracey. Go back to the 90s where you were obviously time traveled from. Because you suck and you belong there. You are not from this Luke Bracey. You ever see November Man? Pierce Brosnan? You're a Pierce Brosnan
November
fan.
Man.
November Man. You ever see November Man?
I saw it with you, Chris.
Did we see it together? See, I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, I know, you have to forgive me. So many times.
You must forgive me.
I do. It happens to me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Man, he was bad in that. He trained me. And like me, I believe my mentor is into extreme sports.
Anyway, XXX, this dude.
In April 2002, shot in the Czech Republic, where they don't give a fuck about safety.
Of course.
They were doing a stunt where this guy, Harry O'Connor, was, he was a paragliding, and he was paragliding down onto a submarine. So it's over a river. He did not descend fast enough.
Okay.
So he was in the air too long, and at a high rate of speed, Harry O'Connor, rest in power, rest in paradise. We're not trying to fuck around with no death here in terms of disrespecting the dead. But heads up, guys. He crashed into a bridge. Ooh. Ay, caramba.
Remember
pronounced to, dead on scene.
Guys, remember to land where and when you're supposed to.
Yes, he was in the air too long, did not descend fast enough to get to the submarine, and pow, crash into a bridge in the Czech Republic. It said, according to the Prague police, he was being pulled at high speed on a paraglider, hit a pillar of the Palaki Bridge. He died on the spot
instantly
due to heavy injuries.
Yeah.
So someone died making XXX. Isn't that a bummer?
That is. That's a shame.
That's a shame. Samuel Jackson was in that movie.
Yeah.
Someone died on the set. I did not pull this story. Samuel Jackson also did Jumper. Someone died making that movie.
Yeah.
A art designer, a set designer, a piece of the set fell on them while they were dismantling it.
Shitty.
And he died. Yeah, that sucks. I barely remember XXX. I did not see the second one with Ice Cube.
No,
but I did see the third one.
Return of Xander.
The Return of Xander Cage. Where also, it was also in parentheses, also the Return of Ice Cube.
Because
he comes back at the end. And they're not good.
No, they're really bad. They're bad.
They're bad. You know what's a better version?
They're almost... I mean, you know what?
They don't have that Fast and Furious magic.
No, they don't. I mean, only for like... The first one is so very much like an encapsulation of like the early 2000s.
Yes, yes.
So totally.
It's like Crank. Yes.
As like a time capsule piece, it is actually kind of amazing.
It's all like Prodigy, like
everybody's wearing weird furs and crazy fucking skinny pants are starting to come into style.
It's so bad. It is a perfect time capsule of that period, and that's really the only reason.
No, it really is.
Okay, this story. Number four. Pew, pew, pew. Of guy who died on set. This is a TV show, but still, it's so, and it leads into the thing we're going to talk about later with The Crow. But I remember this story, and it's crazy. This guy whose name is John Eric Hexum.
Okay.
Very handsome white fella, very buff. Died at the age of 26 in 1984.
Okay.
He was making a show. No, I'll just jump right here. Making a show called Cover Up, where he was the lead. What had happened was he was on set.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a 44 Magnum gun with the blanks in him.
Yeah.
And you're doing a scene where he was going to shoot the gun, shoot some blanks, and there was on-set delays, and it was like taking forever, and he was like, oh, God. So he had the gun. He was fucking around, clowning around, trying to keep it light. He was the lead, and he was just trying to like keep everyone entertained and make sure that the set was lively. And I think we mentioned this on the show a few years ago when I first read about this. Like, this is a crazy story. He had the gun in his hand. And as a joke, he was like, oh my God, this is taking forever. Someone, you know.
Shoot me.
Shoot me. Put the gun to his head.
Pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger. He had already, and there was dummy rounds in there. He pulled out all the dummy rounds. There was even a story where maybe he took out all the rounds and then put in one dummy round and pulled it. Did the spin the barrel because it's a revolver, it's a Magnum, Russian roulette. He's like, oh God, kill me. And he pulls the trigger. The dummy round goes off. The wadding that's in there, because they have to pack the, for a blank to have the flash, they still have to have gunpowder.
Blanks can hurt you at very close range.
Precisely, because they take the bullet out,
yes,
but it has gunpowder in there.
Yes.
To keep the powder in the bullet from not falling out of the casing,
they have wadding.
There's wadding. So, plastic or paper.
So
if it's... If you have it to your eyeball or to your temple, somewhere that is vulnerable, if it's like right next to it, that explosion. Well,
if it is literally point blank, like skin contact, it will break the skin.
Yeah, if you have it on your arm and you pull the trigger, it'll hurt your arm. You'll fuck your arm up.
I guarantee you, it'll shoot the wadding into your arm, probably like half an inch.
Yeah, like God damn it, now I have a gross wound to deal with. If you put it up to your temple, like this guy did. Like John Eric Hexum did. Put it to your temple and pull the trigger and it goes off. What had happened to him was that little bit of soft skull that's right there.
It
fragmented it. It blew those pieces of skull into his brain and it caused hemorrhaging. He had to go to the hospital. Died several days later he was declared brain dead and then they pulled him off life support. Yeah. You know, he didn't want a Terry Schiavo situation here. Or waving a balloon in his face.
Yeah.
It was the '80s. They're like, fuck him, just pull him. His mom was like, take him off the goddamn life support. So there you go. If you're playing with blanks, be careful.
Yeah. Don't pull the trigger with your skin contact.
Don't put it to your head and pull the trigger. God, guys, that's crazy. Isn't that crazy? So rest in power, Harry O'Connor. Rest in paradise, John Eric Hexum. Truce Cogburn, in the movie, we got Top Gun Maverick coming.
Mm-hmm.
We got shots of Tom Cruise
actually
in a cockpit
flying a fucking jet.
The son of a bitch.
Through mountains.
Knowing Tom Cruise doing this, knowing that the original Tom Gun.
Mm-hmm.
The original Tom Cruise gun. In the 80s. At the end of the movie, it says, in memory of Art Skull.
He died. There was a blood sacrifice for
Top Gun. Blood sacrifice for Top Gun.
Okay.
His name is Art Skull. S-C-H-O-L-L. That's who you said. Skull.
Don't know.
Skull.
I don't know, Chris.
Skull. He was a pilot. All right. And he actually has a... He was building a career for himself as a guy who flew around and had great aerial photography for other movies. Let me click on this link. What happened here? All right, here we go. According to what is this? This website is called the Wikipedia. Decorated pilot, blah blah blah, etc. etc. I just want to get to the actual movies to work done. He shot stuff for The Right Stuff. I mean, a movie about fucking piloting, right? He shot stuff for The Right Stuff. The Great Waldo Pepper, Blue Thunder, movie about I think that was about an experimental helicopter airship of some sort.
Okay.
He shot stuff for the A-Team, for Chips, Iron Eagle, the original Iron Eagle. And then, of course, his final movie, Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Flying over the Pacific, he's flying a fighter pilot ship, plane. He was doing a barrel roll. He was going to fly it, do an inverted flight, and then flip it back over, fly away. So he flips the plane over, and then it won't flip back over. His last communications to back to mission control, land control, whatever, air control, whatever. His last known recorded communication was, I have a problem. I have a real problem. Crash. Crashes into the Pacific. Plane was never recovered. Body was never recovered. They don't know the exact cause. obviously some sort of malfunction. You couldn't get the plane to do what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So someone died making Top Gun, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he was an experienced pilot and all.
The most experienced. Like, decorated. Like, he, dude was one of the best.
Yeah.
They were making a movie about the best fighter pilots in the right stuff.
And he's the best.
And they were like, well, we need a guy. We need this guy. He's the guy to shoot these scenes. And he was, like, flew around, got some great air. The stuff in right stuff looks amazing, the shots that they got. So when they made Top Gun,
of course,
we need the best.
Yeah.
He's the best. We got him. He's like, all right, I'll do this crazy movie for you.
Not good enough.
And he's still, anyone, it can happen to anyone.
He died. Scary.
So shout outs to Art Skull. Skull. Boy, okay, here we go. Let's talk about Brandon Lee. So we're going to talk about The Crow next week. Let's go deep now on his death.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when we talk about The Crow, we can sort of just, you know, not worry.
And
not
died.
Really worry about that. Yeah, and then he So he dies in the scene where his fiance is being brutally gang raped.
Yep.
Awesome. Can't wait to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
God damn it.
It's a fucking rough movie, dude.
Goddamn rapes, man. They're everywhere. And he shows up with a bunch of groceries.
Yeah.
And he has a grocery pack in groceries in front of him. There's a blood pack in there.
Yeah.
Someone was going to point a gun at him, pull the trigger. The blood pack goes off. He collapses. That's his death.
End of scene.
End of scene. What had happened was... Okay. I got to find it. It has to be on YouTube. Maybe on HBO. It has to... I got to find it. It's out there. So I can post it for people. A great... Must have been 30-minute documentary about the exact cause. The chain of events that caused...
led to this. Yeah.
It started with... It's all low budget. It's all to save money. But... they have the pawn shop. There's a pawn shop scene. So in order to populate a on-set pawn shop, the production designer went to a real pawn shop and bought everything. He's like, I want everything that's in the store. We're going to put it on set. Included in everything was bullets. Actual bullets. Right? So they make the set. Someone is walking around, he's looking at the set, and he sees these bullets on the set. He's like, "These, we can't have actual ammunition. You guys are crazy. You guys are crazy." So he takes the bullets and he puts them in the trunk of his car, right? And then they just sit there for weeks, like forgotten about it. They're just sitting in his car as they make the movie. And then later, the movie's going over budget and they're running out of money. And they're like, "We need blanks. We need this. We need that." Guy's like, I have bullets. I have bullets in my car.
Real ones.
I have real bullets that we can then... I know
turn into blanks.
Yes. So I know how to turn some of these into blanks. And I know how to turn some of these into dummies. Blanks are when, like we said already, with Mr. John Eric Hexum, the bullet is taken out, but there's still wadding in there and then powder.
Yeah.
A dummy is when they take the powder out and it's just the bullet. But then there's also the primer.
A little bit of primer.
So here's the thing. On a real dummy, the primer, it's fake.
Yeah.
Or it's exploded.
Well, it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
But here's the thing. So depending on what's going on, like, you could, quote unquote, ignite a primer. All you gotta do is just tap it in the right spot.
Yes.
You can do that, and if it doesn't go off, then technically the primer's still, quote unquote, loaded.
Yes.
So you're supposed to take that bullet and fucking toss it, so something like... this doesn't happen.
Right. So what happens was they have a bunch of primers. They have a bunch of bullets of primers. And they take a hammer and a nail and they just go pop, pop, pop. And they just set off all the... So it's a little ping, bang, bang. Little tiny bangs that get rid of all the primers. One of the primers didn't go off all the way. All right. So sequence of events. They take real bullets. They turn half of them into blanks and half into dummies. Now they're going to shoot these scenes. I've seen one... One thing online said they had 3 days left on production. One thing said they had 8 days left. So it's pretty much like the last week.
It's crunch time.
It's crunch time. They're running out of time, running out of money. They're shooting the shit. One of the last scenes they're shooting is the gang invasion, the rape, and Brandon Lee getting shot and killed. It was character getting shot and killed. And then also him. So they had the sequence of shots where this is... And the order they are shooting is also what mattered, right? So the first shot that they wanted to get was the character holding the gun with the dummy bullets, and then the trigger goes, like the camera, what's it, the barrel. The barrel changes, and you see it, so you have to see the bullet.
Yeah.
So those are the dummies. they shoot the dummy, they pull the trigger, it happens to hit a fucking bullet where the primer didn't go off. So the primer does go off here.
Puts the bullet into the barrel.
Yes.
Bullets in the barrel.
People are like, what's that? You guys hear that?
Yeah.
No one checks the barrel. No one checks the barrel. Now we get to a point of safety checks and being vigilant on set.
Well, and I'm sure after this, everything changed.
Yes, after this, everything... Well, things changed before this, but things changed again after this. A possible reason why this happened, all these mistakes happened, Drew, online, according to some sort of... If you do a search for The Crow, Empire Magazine... Cocaine use.
Oh, okay. So they were just high on drugs.
Yo, apparently, Drew.
Next shot. Go.
It was cocaine rampant on the set of The Crow, according to this Empire magazine profile. To the point where there's I guess now it's urban legend or whatever. Someone on the set of The Crow sneezed, and Brandon Lee joked, "Well, someone just lost $50." how much coke was in use on set. Cameramen between shots, people running to the bathroom between sets. It was coke crazy, which doesn't make for the most
safe of work conditions.
Attentive of sets. You would think people would be more attentive. No, nope, they're just crazy.
Well, they are attentive just other things.
To the wrong things, to how cool they look, and not to what was that crazy sound that just went off when I pulled the trigger and it's gonna end. Never mind. So now let's take the same gun, this dummy gun, and reload it now with blanks.
Yes.
So they just expect the paper wadding to shoot out that doesn't hurt anyone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, this thing is a full on now we have an actual bullet in a gun.
God, we got a bullet in the gun, we got explosives in the chamber, they pull the trigger, and it's the actor.
Yeah.
The guy who played, who is it? Not T-Bird, because that's David Patrick Kelly, one of the actors who he stopped acting for a few years. He's to this day, he says he still has nightmares.
Yeah.
He pulls the trigger for there to be a blank explosion.
Yep.
Instead, the bullet pops out, hits Brandon Lee in the gut. He hits the ground. They also have a blood squib in the grocery pack. So they expect blood. They expect him to hit the ground and be bloody and mean dying. Like, oh, I'm dying. I'm like, man, this guy is such a great actor. This guy is... All right, Brandon, let's go. Next shot. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This guy's been shot for real. Take him to a hospital. He dies of bleeding and the hemorrhaging and the gunshot wound. No.
He got shot for reals.
Brandon fucking Lee, man.
Yeah.
Dude was going to be a...
He was going to be a star.
He was going to be a massive star.
Yeah.
He's already making... Even in shit like Rapid Fire, it's a shitty movie, Drew. Yeah. I talk about this on episode 345. I have to look.
It's fine.
345. I watched it this week. It's a garbage movie. He's so good. Mm-hmm. He's so good. He's even bad in it, but he's so good. You know what I mean?
He's got it. The same. He inherited it from his father.
He has 50% of it from his dad. That 50% is enough.
Yeah.
To be an action star, a 90s action star. He could have been Time Cop 2.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, we were stuck with the guy who played his dad, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. Mm-hmm. What's his name? The guy who was in the Jungle Book movie.
Oh, I forget. I can't.
Jason Scott Lee. Thank you very much.
There we go.
That's why I am Cinema Crespo.
So,
he shot, died, The Crow. Sad story.
So awful.
Sad
story. It really is. Crazy. That's one of those urban legend ones.
Isn't it wild how much stuff goes around that one? Now, the reason why that's not the most notorious one ever.
No, because unfortunately...
Oh my god. This story is fucking insane. Great 80s movie. 3/5 of a great 80s movie is the Twilight Zone movie.
Hmm.
It's a... is it 5 or is it 4? It's an anthology movie from the best directors of the time, of the day, some of them still the best directors, George Miller, Steven Spielberg, John Landis. The very first story of the anthology is about a guy, a racist, played by this fellow, Vic Morrow, right? When was the last time you've seen this, Drew? Have you even?
I'm not sure if I have.
I have it on a bootleg DVD somewhere at the very minimum. It's also online. Mm-hmm. Movie's worth checking out, Drew. For this segment, even though the tragedy still makes it be like, oh, this kind of, it's a dark thing that hangs over this. But this segment is great. The Steven Spielberg segment, Kick the Can, sucks.
Okay.
You of all people would hate it the most.
Yeah. Okay.
it sucks. The Kick the Can segment sucks. But then there's a great Joe Dante, the guy who did Gremlins. He has a fantastic one that has to deal with a kid's psychic abilities and a love of Saturday morning cartoons. And then the John Lithgow does a remake, essentially, of A Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. Mm-hmm. The There's Something on the Wing. Yeah. He does that, directed by George Miller.
Ooh.
It's fucking great.
No.
So the beginning, the last segment, it's like where you would like some of it. All right, so Vic Morrow does a segment where he's a racist. Like, it's him and his friends, his white friends are hanging out at a bar, and he's like, oh, I'm so sick of all these N-words, and that's the only one. I'll say all the other ones. I won't say N-words. I'm so sick of all these N-words, and the spooks, and the spicks, and this, and that, and he's in a bar. The mix, all of the spooks, the spicks, the mix. And his white friends are like, God damn it, like, relax. Like, they're probably just as racist.
Yeah.
They're like, you're being too loud about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, listen.
Chill with the racism.
Dude, we get it.
But we're in public.
Yeah.
Because they're at a bar, there's like black dudes at a table next to them. Yeah. They're like, this motherfucker here.
There aren't Confederate flags in this bar. We can't be saying
precisely,
this.
Precisely. Yeah. This insignia around you isn't signaling. Like this, he doesn't give a shit. He's drunk and mad, so he's like a openly racist fuck. And he leaves the bar, and then he goes through a series of events where he stumbles into supernatural scenarios, where he then takes the place of people who have been persecuted. No. So like immediately he becomes without realizing that first, he's like. He stumbles onto a train, and he's a Jewish guy.
No,
like
going to a death camp.
Going to a death camp, and he's like, what the fuck? Or is that the end of the segment? That may be the end of the segment. But he's a Jewish guy in a death camp. He's like a black guy being called the N-word and stuff like that. And then, because it's the early 80s, he's a Vietnamese person.
Yeah.
Okay. And
Asians are being persecuted right now.
Not even just that, just the Vietnam War.
Yeah, like, okay. Like I said.
So there's a bunch of soldiers being like, I heard them gooks, blah, 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 shooting their guns. And so he is a Vietnamese guy. And so it's still him in a suit. He grabs these Vietnamese kids. They're running from a village, a helicopter. A lot of this footage, there's a lot of footage in this movie. It's like, is this? I don't know. And the scene is supposed to be a helicopter of GI soldiers shooting at him, and he's running with kids through across the river trying to get away. Oh my god, so there's explosions on set, right? There was an explosion. The helicopter was about 25 meters off the ground. There was an explosion right underneath the rotor tail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that mortar goes off, it severs the motor tail. The helicopter goes out of control, it spins, crashes down. Vic Morrow, there's no double. Later, it's found out that he complained to someone. When he found out what the shot was, he was like, I should have asked for a double.
Yeah.
There's two kids. He has a seven-year-old kids with him, like six, seven-year-old, two kids. What was happening in the scene, the pyrotechnics and a stunt, that was hidden from the parents, that was hidden from the welfare person on set.
Everybody.
Apparently, there was a long, drawn-out civil court case based on this.
Oh,
and, all sorts of labor violations were happening. Everyone's still not guilty, got off clean, et cetera, et cetera. John Landis, Steven Spielberg, ended his friendship with John Landis after this. Because first he had already known about some of the on-set violations, and then this accident happened. He was like, we're done. You dead to me, buddy. Yeah. Landis, still making movies.
Yeah.
Still a person.
Survived it. Somehow.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'll have to worry about that later. And then, so, motor goes off, explodes the rotor, helicopter comes crashing, decapitates Vic Morrow and one of the kids he's carrying. As he was running, one of the kids dropped, so he had to stop during the stunt, trying to pick the kid up in the water, because it was like water up to your, like, just under your knees, which means, you know, you can't run away that fast.
Kick it drown.
Kick it drown, you can't run away that fast. Tries to pick up the kid. He gets decapitated. Kid he's carrying gets decapitated. Other kid gets crushed by one of the pylon, the things that the helicopter lands on.
Yeah.
Got crushed by it. All three dead instantly. That's the rest of history for one, probably the worst.
The craziest on set death
of all time. Talk about it with The Crow.
Yeah.
But this is by far the most big. when it comes to changing industry standards for child labor.
All of it.
Stunts.
Motherfucker killed two stunts, kids.
Killed two kids and an actor. Got away with it. He, you know, he is like, I think about it every day. Mm-hmm. My career suffered, blah, blah, which it has.
Still.
But it's still like, man. When it comes to the facts that came out of the case, the trial,
yeah.
Like, he really pushed people to do dangerous stuff, things they weren't prepared to do. He shaded things last minute. Bad, bad, bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, I highly recommend you watch the Twilight Zone movie. And then when you see the helicopter and the people running, you see all the shit, you're like, whoa.
You're like, oh.
I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure it changes things.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's good stuff. So there you go. There's five crazy onset movie deaths.
They're all dead, Chris.
And they're all dead. You know what? Making movies is important, Drew.
It is.
And it's worthy sometimes, of death.
Sometimes it requires blood sacrifice.
Sometimes it requires blood sacrifice. I'll die to make a movie.
Will you?
No.
See? Exactly.
I want to live forever.
I want to live forever. I want to know what love is.
That's a different song. All right, well, there you go. That's the end of this episode. Drew Sikogren, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, patrons. You guys are awesome. We'll be back next week. Next week, we'll do the Crow episode.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. 1994 is The Crow. All right, so that's it. We're closing this thing down, and peace out.
A PFT Media production.